You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
May the 2nd, 2022. We are live streaming right now on rumble.com. Go to Rumble, enter the search engine, Larry Connors, USA, one word, and that will open the camera right into the studio. Glad to have you with us. Secretary of Homeland Security, Mayorkas, insisting again that this Disinformation Governance Board was not going to be spying on U.S. citizens. Well, you're not going to do that. And he's defending Nina Jankowicz, a person of high trust with, quote, tremendous authority. We just had a guest on in the last hour about how this same Minister of Truth denied consistently the Hunter laptop existed, constantly was agreeing with and promoting the fact that Trump was bought by Russia, and, of course, covered up anything that might make Hillary or Joe Biden look bad. Yeah, there's your Minister of Truth. If you missed that hour, make sure you check out the podcast, or you can watch it on rumble.com. And Senator Ron Johnson, a Republican of Wisconsin, had pointed out over the weekend this Disinformation Governance Board, he said, it's Orwellian. He said it is basically 1984 all over again, and the person put in place has constantly pushed the hoax that the Trump administration was colluding with Russia. Well, the New York Times put out a tweet. Now, this tweet, of course, is going to be owned by Musk. The deal is not closed yet. And all this government's board came forward to, what do we do to combat conservative media, mainly talk radio like this program? What do we do to shut them down? Well, of course, one thing is like YouTube kicks us off their channel. Twitter got kicked Trump off, as did Facebook and others. So he's trying to start Truth Social, a new media operative. And then with Musk buying Twitter, he says, we're going to have a free platform. You can say what you want. You can have a disagreement. Well, I wonder how that Minister of Information would treat this. New York Times just recently, over the weekend, deleted a tweet on the breaking news that Kathy Bolden, a member of the radical militant group Weather Underground, had died. They replaced it with softer language. The initial tweet said, Kathy Bolden, who was a member of the Weather Underground, took part in the murderous 1981 holdup of a Brinks armored car truck, died Sunday. She was 78. But within 2 minutes, that tweet was rejected, deleted, replaced with kinder words for the woman who spent decades in prison. Said Kathy Bolden, a member of the Weather Underground, in prison for her role in a fatal robbery, who later helped former inmates, died at 78. That's a far cry from a member of the murderous 1981 holdup, isn't it? Make it as clean, as simple as you can. Antifa rioters attacking a Republican political rally in Portland, Oregon. Canisters, other objects, could not get enough police there because they defunded the police in the Portland area. You know Pelosi, of course, went to Ukraine, secret trip, unveiled only after she got out of there. That's understandable. Now we're told First Lady Jill Biden will be our face of U.S. diplomacy. She'll be visiting Romania and Slovakia, visiting displaced Ukrainian parents. A public elementary school in D.C. gave children as young as four, a lesson on anti-racism. Asked them to identify any racist members in their family. Justice Department filing a complaint challenging Alabama's bill, which bans transgender treatments for children. We're going to get into all of that in the segment coming up. Oh, this word out too. Congressman Tony Cardenas, Democrat of California, Biden had said he's not going to forgive student loans. It's too hot, too big of a hot potato, maybe $10,000. But now trying to get those numbers up, maybe he'll go for $50,000 worth of loans. We'll just dismiss that. Maybe that would help former Mayor Bill de Blasio. He and his wife are deep in debt, staying at an expensive Brooklyn hotel, indoor pool, restaurants. But after leaving office, $300,000 legal bills or more, deep in debt, no money coming in, and maybe we can forgive him and you pay his debts. How's that?
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
It's the latest instance of legislation targeting LGBTQ youth. Alabama Governor Kay Ivey signing two bills. One makes it illegal to teach about sexual orientation and gender identity in grades K through 5. The other bans transgender health care for minors. Anyone who violates faces a felony punishable by up to 10 years in prison.
It was just a private journey going on between me, my family, and my doctors.
The new legislation's made 15-year-old Harley Walker feel like she has no choice but to speak out publicly.
If I did stop my gender-affirming care, my physical outside would reflect on who I was inside. And that would, like, completely destroy me mentally and physically.
That's an ABC News report from last month after Governor Ivy of Alabama signed the legislation outlawing puberty-blocking medications for minors, making it a felony punishable by up to 10 years in prison to prescribe puberty blockers or hormones to transgender children to help in their gender transition. That was then, and we knew then, that it would create lawsuits to follow. Before I get into the lawsuits, let's take a moment to talk about the young girl that they were featuring there briefly, who is 15, 16 years old and going through this change at this point. Darling, my heart breaks for you that you're at this point, that you're that confused and you've done this. Her parents went along with it. Her father, at least, I saw a quote from him saying, I love my child. Well, sure, you do love your child. Now, maybe there was another option that she never had a chance to explore, or no other option seemed to be viable because she's being constantly propagandized that maybe you just need to change your sex and you'll be happy. I don't know the background of the whole story. The bottom line is, stopping it now for her obviously would be traumatic. And I'm not in favor of doing that. I'm in favor of going ahead and seeing, letting her see through, and even in that state, what she started. I can also see that if it's going to take place, if the state of Alabama wants to prevent a child from doing it, if they had their parents' permission, it's pretty hard to say that you can't allow it. But I have such a deep inner fear that some, quote, parents are also just going along to get along. They're trying to be a good friend to their kid. Parents, for the most part, realize, I'm not here to be your friend. I'm here to be your guardian and to protect you and look out for you and raise you. I like to think that in raising my daughters, they knew that I was going to be their dad first. We could do friendly things and be friends, but no, there's some things that you're not going to be allowed to do because I'm your father. I'm not going to allow it. This bill in Alabama, though, makes Alabama the second state to impose such a ban on gender-affirming care for minors. It is the first to impose criminal penalties. There was a similar measure in Arkansas, which would have banned doctors from prescribing medications. That got blocked by a federal judge. Ivey also signed legislation prohibiting certain Alabama elementary school teachers from discussing gender identity and sexual orientation matters in schools. Both of those bills would never have been thought of 15, 20 years ago because you didn't think it needed to. But now we do to protect the kids because the kids, they're gullible, as are many adults, unfortunately, and naive. And they think, well, if I could have an espresso instead of a regular coffee, my life would be better. You find out you don't like it, it costs too much, and tough luck, it's already done now. That's a small thing to get over in your life. Changing your gender and then later regretting it, not so small, right? One of those legislators in Alabama, state legislator Wes Allen, who signed on to Governor Ivey's bill, actually it wasn't her bill, but he signed on it. He was co-author of it, I believe. He's talking about the intent while putting up this law was not to harm kids. It was to help them.
The bill does not prohibit mental health counseling. It just prohibits those powerful medications.
While the FDA hasn't approved puberty blockers for gender-affirming care, those treatments have been used for decades in very young children, but considered off-label. Alabama's law is one of at least three of its kind across the country. Legal battles over this one already in the works. Supporters of the new law says it's about protecting children.
We don't want them to make these decisions at such 11 and 12, 13 years old that's going to impact them years down the road.
Again, that is State Representative Wes Allen of Alabama. But the Justice Department has filed a complaint challenging that Alabama bill, saying criminalizing sexual transition of children is a violation of the 14th Amendment on the grounds of equal protection. I was in college on both high school and college on debate teams, and you learn to argue either side. If you're an attorney, you learn to argue either side. You may be a great prosecutor, but then you leave to go into private practice. You become a criminal defense attorney. You argue that side just as ferociously as you did the other. These parents and doctors, though, are all being represented by left-leaning law firms, of course, the ACLU, Southern Poverty Law Center, Human Rights Campaign. And they're all claiming that this is a violation of the 14th Amendment on the grounds of equal protection. We don't give children equal protection on everything, period. We don't. Now, different states set different levels on drinking. driving permits, full driving, smoking. You can argue the 14th Amendment on anything. I can stand there with you. I could take your side. I could argue it hard with you, be with you. Even if my mind's not with it, I mean, at least my heart isn't in it. I could do the job. But this is again, what's being lost here is the kids. And they are being too often pushed and pulled along this transgender path. And the LGBT community claims that that is an effort to hurt the LGBT community. How the hell does it hurt you if it's not you that needs a transformation? Or you already have, or you want, or don't want to. It doesn't hurt you. It hurts maybe somebody becoming a member of your group. Oh, is that what it is? I know you're not collecting dues, not necessarily on all of them, but it's a fake argument. But I also told you the Alabama legislation that she signed prohibited certain elementary school teachers at certain grade levels discussing gender identity, sexual orientation. State of Florida, of course, has done the same now. And in the news and commentary at the top of the hour, in case you missed it, I point out a public elementary school in Washington, D.C. was giving children as young as four, I repeat again, as young as four, a lesson on anti-racism. Kids are taught racism. They don't just learn it. They don't just suddenly realize the other kid's a different color unless you point it out and you make a big deal out of it. That's what this is doing. This is not being inclusive. It's divisive. It's not bringing us together, because then they also want them to identify racist members of their family. Now, is a kid going to think anyone of another color is racist? Or are they going to think that, oh, well, Uncle Joe said something one day? I don't know what these kids are coming up. They're 4 years old. If you ever saw the Art Linkletter program, the things kids would say, you never know what's going to come out of their mouth. Whether or not they believe it or know it, or if it's fact or fiction, doesn't make any difference. There is a November 30 letter that these pre-K through third grade also should participate in an anti-racism fight club. K school through third grade. They have a book called Fist Book for Kids. Fist Book, that's what it says. If you're a white person, white privilege is something you were born with. It simply means your life is more difficult due to the color of your skin. Oh, I'm sorry, your life, because you're white, is not more difficult due to the color of your skin. Well, let me bring in a resident person who has a different skin color than me. I think you probably have known him and seen him anyway. Former HUD secretary, a retired neurosurgeon. Dr. Carson, when it talks about how progressives are doing everything they can to control your children.
So now you have a party that is forcing things on people that they don't want. And Virginia was a very good example of that. It was, a purple state or even almost a blue state. And yet the voting was much more conservative in nature because people want to maintain control of something that is the most important thing when it comes to their children, and that's their education.
The most important thing would be their education. Dr. Ben Carson, former Housing and Urban Development Director under Trump, and also was a campaign candidate for president. I did not think he was qualified for president. I would not have wanted him to be president. But I'm certainly not taking away his other abilities. And here's a man who is a black man, talking about how he was raised, and he's looking at this anti-racism stuff and the transgender issue, the CRT campaigns, all of this stuff. When they have a section in this book they're teaching in D.C. how to deal with racism from loved ones, just because someone is older doesn't mean they're right all the time. In other words, your parents are older, they're not right all the time. Dr. Carson admits he was really not, believe it or not, not a good student.
I was a terrible student at one point in my life. I thought I was stupid. My teachers and classmates agreed. And then my mother made me start reading books. And I got to the point where I couldn't stand to be without a book. I became a bookworm. I knew everything. And it completely changed the trajectory of my life. And, you know, as someone who started out in the lowest rungs of society economically to be able to ascend to the top 1%, you know, that was not an accident. That was because of a solid education. That wasn't somebody teaching me about what my gender was or what pronouns to use. It was about providing the appropriate type of education that allows you to function in our society.
And that's what we want. Stop the CRT, stop the transgender sexual identity classes, focus on your prime thing, and that is educate our children. Speaking of education or someone who needs to be educated, that would be Alejandro Mayorkas. Well, I'm not saying he's stupid, I'm just saying he's got some stupid ideas, like this disinformation board. We covered this in a great detail in the last hour, but I cannot ignore it. I need to go back to it again because I want to hear how he compares the need for this disinformation governing board.
Is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I think we probably could have done a better job of communicating what it does and does not do. So the fact is that disinformation that creates a threat to the security of the homeland is our responsibility to address, and this department has been addressing it for years, throughout the years of the prior administration and an ongoing basis. Disinformation from Russia.
You had to throw in Russia, didn't you? That is Alejandro Mayorkas on CNN and over the weekend trying to explain again their disinformation board. See, I think we probably could have done a better job of communicating. You think? And then you want to say this department has been responsible for our nation's security? The hell you have been, not under your administration. You have had our borders fully open. Oh, you remember, of course, the other day he got asked about the illegals that were identified as terrorists. We're going to get to that a little bit later. But here we have Mayorkas comparing this disinformation board and saying we're going after those who might be a national security threat. The woman he's appointed, the minister of truth, already declared basically that if you say anything against and mock Kamala Harris, that's a threat to national security. And on top of that, Jen Psaki the other day, when asked at the White House about it, said it's to stop false, misleading, misinformation about elections and COVID. Well, those are not national security issues simply because you have a disagreement over how to get COVID treatments or to get a vaccine or not, or this person won the election, that person didn't. That's a discussion. It's freedom of speech. But again, the person he chose, Nina Jankowicz, she had denied repeatedly the Hunter Biden laptop ever existed. She helped Hillary Clinton peddle the campaign about Russian collusion involving Trump, and now she's going to be the minister of truth?
Republicans are criticizing your decision, the administration's decision, to choose Nina Jankowicz to lead this disinformation board. They say she is not somebody who is neutral. Your response?
eminently qualified, a renowned expert in the field of disinformation. Absolutely so.
Oh, absolutely. I trust her. J.D. Vance is running for the Ohio Republican Senate primary race. He's been endorsed by President Trump, former President Trump. And he said that Biden's Disinformation Governance Board is a blatant attempt to silence Americans on social media companies controlled by a handful of billion-dollar tech corporations. He said it's all about enforcing speech codes on American citizens. He's right. That's exactly what I've been telling you. Name me a conservative. Bring me one conservative that has any kind of platform other than on the internet and says that the left should not never be allowed to speak again. Now, I would like to think I'd wish it shut their mouth, but they do have a right to speak. And in fact, many times, the more often they speak, the more stupid they appear. But you can't argue with them because they only know one line of thinking. Freedom of speech allows in this country for someone to burn the U.S. flag, which I'm certainly not in favor of, but is freedom of speech as declared by the court. In Canada, ironically, our neighbor to the north, if you burn the Canadian flag, that's a federal offense. You want to know my freedom of speech about that? Bring it back as a federal offense here. It never was a federal law, but I mean, go ahead, make an exception. Why not? These folks are going down a road they don't want to go down because the next day they might not be the ones in control. God help us. I hope that comes to pass. Coming up, Mayorkas and all about all those illegals. Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You call for immigration reform legislatively a lot. Can you name one thing that would help you deport more illegal immigrants that Congress could do?
What we are talking about when we talk about legislation is building the orderly legal pathways for people to obtain relief under our laws.
But you want people to be out if they're not supposed to be here, correct?
Absolutely. That's okay. The law.
Do you know how many illegal aliens DHS has released from the southwest border into the United States since the president took office?
Do you know what released means, Brett? Because release doesn't mean just let go into the United States.
I'm sorry. If you're watching on Rumble.com, you could tell Larry is not buying any of this, not the way he's shaking his head and that silly-looking grin. That's Mayorkas over the weekend with Bret Baier of Fox News, asking good questions. And we're going to break it down some for you. First of all, when you heard Mayorkas say, we want to establish a pathway. That's sub-language fine print for how to get illegals into the country and make them U.S. citizens. Not through our existing immigration law. We have immigration laws. You might think we don't. And many of those in the Southern Hemisphere or from any other country don't think we have immigration laws because you can just come across the border. And then when Mayorkas is questioned about how many came across and were released, he wants to be the interrogator. He wants to be, I guess he heard me last week when I said, quit being such a mealy mouth diplomat, politician, failed effort. And I'm trying to find the cleanest, nicest words I could say so the station does not lose its license. Basically, speak more direct. Well, I guess he decided, oh, well, Larry's right. Maybe I should act like I know more than Brett Baer. Let me throw a question back at Brett Baer. Let's pick it up again.
Do you know what released means, Brett? Because release doesn't mean just let go into the United States. It means if we do not detain individuals, they're placed on alternatives to detention, and they are in immigration enforcement proceedings. And if they do not appear for their immigration enforcement proceedings, they are a priority for enforcement action.
What percentage of migrants speaking released with those notices to appear actually show?
Do you know? Just over 86%.
Just over 86%. Now, I know a lot of you are saying that can't be right. I don't know where he got the 86%. I've not seen that number anywhere, but I've seen some close to it. And I've seen some even higher, actually. One is the Washington Post doing a fact check on a claim that 90% of those applying for asylum never show up for their immigration hearing in the months ahead. That was the question as claimed. And the Washington Post, which, of course, just recently acknowledged the Hunter laptop was real and the emails on it were real, for that claim, they say, give it four Pinocchios. In other words, liar, 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 liar. More than that show up. All right, so let me go to another source. Here's the American Immigration Council. They have skin in this game because they need money to operate their council. And they're reporting, this was as of January last year, examining 11 years of government data on the rate at which migrants appear for hearings in the U.S. Immigration Courts, found that 83%, maybe that's where he was referring to, 83% do show up. And those who couldn't, well, they never got the notice, or they have a hardship of getting to court. Yeah, they can get here from 1,000 miles away, but they can't make their way to the courtroom. And then a group called Statista says the share of U.S. immigration court proceedings where applicants failed to appear from 2007 to 2018 varies from 18% not show, I'm sorry, yeah, where they failed to appear, 18%, all the way up to 29%. And this last stat they report, 2 years old now, of 25%. Not showing up for court. So which number do you want to take? Or do you even accept the fact that they do it all? And let's say they're going to if you give them the notice. Well, here's the other part of the question for, do you know what release means when Mayorkas makes that statement?
Individuals who are encountered at the border often make claims for relief under our laws. If they do not make a claim,
I want to come back to me. I want to set that up better for you. I was wanting to tell you again about his question about, do you know what release means? Well, release means, of course, they're given a determination when they're to show up in court. I have here in front of me as of March 22nd in 2021. Border agents in the Rio Grande Valley were authorized to begin releasing adult migrant migrants and families from custody before they were given dates to appear in court, according to an internal document obtained by NBC News. The move is, quote, intended to mitigate operational challenges, including risk to national security during significant surges of illegal migration as currently exists in the Rio Grande Valley, by reducing the time immigrants spend in custody. Several immigrants said they were being released without knowing how they were going to be contacted, if they were going to be contacted. That was March 2021. More than a year ago. And it's been going on for some time. We've been told that. They're not even giving them notices to appear anymore. So you have no idea how many are not showing up for court because we're not telling them to show up for court. So the number, I will guarantee you, is higher than 17% don't show up for court, that 80-plus percent do. And then here's Mayorkas giving a primer for illegals trying to come into our country, what they need to be doing. This is almost telling them, here's your book, follow these rules. And they already know it, but hear him explain it.
Individuals who are encountered at the border often make claims for relief under our laws. If they do not make a claim, they're apprehended, and if they do not make a claim, they are promptly removed. If they make a claim, then they have a right under our law to seek to advance that claim before an immigration judge. If the judge denies their claim, they are removed. We do not believe that individuals who do not have a right under the law to be in the United States, we do not believe that they should stay in the United States.
That is contrary to everything Biden and every Democrat said when they were running for the White House, saying we don't need no stinking borders. Now, Mayorkas says, no, we're against that. If they can't claim a sanctuary right away when they come here, then we send them back. Don't you think they realize, hey, holler sanctuary, sanctuary? And keep in mind, they're teaching others how to do the same thing. They're forming family units so they can appear as a family and whole. And they could still have their case adjudicated, stay in Mexico policy that Trump had in place. If you recall last week, I want to wait until after the break because I want to interrupt this. Mayorkas is appearing in front of Congress. He's testifying to some extent questions you just heard. And there was evidence that at least 42 that had been captured were on the FBI terrorist watch list, no fly list. And Congressman Jordan was asking Mayorkas while he's appearing in front of Congress, where are these people? Do you know where they are? Mayorkas went in there like he didn't expect that question, but he had it for weekend news. Watch this coming up. I don't endorse anyone unless I believe in them. So I can tell you with confidence and with personal knowledge, Rottner Pest Solutions will rid your home, your business, of pests without any danger to your family or pets. Rottner, the only pest control company you need. Call for a free estimate. 877-ROTTLER. 877-ROTTLER. Or go to Rottner.com. Rottner Pest Solutions.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
The Secretary of Homeland Security does not know the answer to the status of 42 individuals who came to our southern border illegally, are on the no-fly list and the terrorist watch list. You do not know of whether they have been released or not into the country. That's your testimony.
Ranking Member Jordan, as I've said before, I will provide you the data.
So it's been a few days. Do you have that data now?
Oh, so yes. And I did not want to misspeak in response to Ranking Member Jordan's question, because we know where those 42 individuals are on the TSDB, the terrorist screening database. We know where those 42 are, and I did not want to speak with respect to the disposition of each and every one of them. But we know where they are, and we've got our hands on it.
Right, right. Now, Mayorkas there at the end was on a network television program with Brett Baer. He could lie to Baer. You can't charge him with perjury. If he lies to Jim Jordan during a congressional hearing, that's perjury. So he said, well, I'll have to get that data. But then, voila! He suddenly says, well, we know where they are. He went on to say, I didn't want to get into details of what their status would be. I mean, they may be held for criminal prosecution and expulsion. Some might have gotten on the list incorrectly. We're trying to decide, and they're cooperating with us. And some were not sure of one way or the other. That was not asked. It was not. It's just, what is the status? Basically, you know where they are. That's all he had to say is, I cannot tell you because of law enforcement restrictions. I probably shouldn't tell you if they're going through a process and being evaluated for. He could at least say that, he could say that and say, we know where they are, we got a handle on it. But he didn't do it because he's afraid maybe it might miscommunicate. He didn't have the Minister of Miscommunication watching over his shoulder, but he might actually lie and perjure himself. That's the way I see it. Every one of these coming into our country right now have already been taught and learned. First of all, you can get here if you're willing to carry drugs for us, and or if you're willing to provide sex along the way, and or you're willing to work your payment off in a sex den somewhere in the U.S. once you get there. And you heard Mayorkas earlier say that it is wrong, we have immigration laws, you should follow the law, but if you're seeking sanctuary, then we need to go through the court. That's why Trump had remain in Mexico policy with the Mexican government helping him. You don't come into the U.S. right now. Come tell us your story, and we will adjudicate it. It's going to take a while, obviously. And it's going to get bigger and longer now because they're going to drop Title 42 the 23rd of this month. And Democrats, especially, well, every House member is up for re-election in 2022, and a third of the U.S. Senate. They're trying to figure out how we're going to walk this, no pun intended, this wall between us and Mexico regarding illegals. So they're trying to adopt some of the language you heard Mayorkas use. It's talking points I'm sure they share with each other. Congressman Greg Stanton, a Democrat of Arizona. We understand that immigrants make us stronger. I won't deny that. We're a land of immigrants. The question is, illegal immigrants, do they make us stronger? Well, if we're just releasing them as we have been since March of last year without even a notice to appear, how do we know? We don't. And now with Title 42 being dropped, it's going to accelerate. So here you have Congressman Stanton on one hand saying, we understand migrants make us stronger, which is why most Arizonans, now I don't know where, maybe there's a poll in Arizona I haven't seen, support modernizing the nation's immigration system, including a pathway to citizenship. I thought Jen Psaki said they weren't going to be here that long. Yeah, that's what she said one time when asked about illegal immigrants. Oh, they're not going to be here that long. What an idiot. And she's going to be on another cable network soon. Good for that network. They got another idiot. But Stanton, Congressman Stanton of Arizona, Democrat, says we also know our border must be secure. If not, there are going to be real consequences Arizonans pay a price for. You're right. And every state in this nation right now is a border state. Every state. Because the nightly flights continue as the Biden administration disperses them across the nation. They're not giving them papers to come back and report to court. We don't know where they are. My Yorkos claims that, well, we know where these 42 on the no-fly list are. I just can't discuss their situation. I don't buy either one of those. Do you? Thanks for joining us. We'll do it again tomorrow. Let your friends, family, even enemies know we're here. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.